the seesawing numbers from a resilient job market. From Marketplace, I'm Nova Safo, in for David Brancaccio. The Labor Department says 242,000 people filed initial claims for state unemployment benefits last week. That's down substantially from the week prior, which was itself up from a week before that. Yes, indeed, a seesaw. At the same time, several Federal Reserve officials have come out in recent days cautioning that an anticipated pause in interest rate hikes may not happen just yet. Connecting those dots is Diane Swonk, chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG.
We're no longer in those ultra-low unemployment claims area that we had gotten to post-pandemic when the labor market was its absolute tightest. It doesn't mean it isn't still tight. Earlier layoffs, people who got severance, they've run out of that severance, and they're now starting to show up in the unemployment claims. And what's unusual is how many high-income earners are in those unemployment claims because of where we saw the layoffs initially, with the high-profile layoffs and everything from tech to finance hit much more higher-income households than we usually see in the layoffs. On the flip side of it, it's still a resilient economy. We're still generating jobs, and we've got 3.4% unemployment rate, the longest span below 4% since 1969, 15 months already in the bag. That is another inflationary era, and that's something the Federal Reserve has gotten worried about, inflation getting sticky, a floor forming under inflation in the service sector that's too high and unproductive over time.
That's Dan Swonk, chief economist at KPMG. Russia has agreed to extend a deal allowing Ukrainian grain exports to safely travel out of the Black Sea. This helps Ukraine, of course, since it's one of the world's biggest producers of grain and relies on that income. But it also helps the developing world to keep a check on food prices. From Kyiv, BBC's James Landale has more.
What it means is those food prices won't go any higher. In fact, that they will drop a bit as a result of this. Because the key thing is, a lot of this Ukrainian grain doesn't, you know, it ends up in, you know, European markets and Asian markets. It doesn't all go to, you know, Africa and places like that. But what it does do is just the simple fact, every time a ship of grain leaves Ukraine and gets onto the Black Sea and gets onto the market, that reduces the price for everybody else. And the key problem for the point about this is that it's not just about food prices, it's also about other prices, because if food prices go up, that adds to global inflation, and global inflation is one of the key economic problems the world is grappling with at the moment, and anything to try and reduce the pressure on global inflation is welcomed by every country around the world.
That was the BBC's James Landale in Kyiv. Here at home, a Wisconsin Native American tribe is going up against one of the country's biggest pipeline operators, Enbridge. The tribe wants a federal court to shut down a line running through reservation land. Enbridge says doing so would raise gas prices and cause propane shortages in parts of the Midwest. We got new unemployment data this week from China. The overall unemployment rate there fell to 5.2%. The unemployment rate for younger people, though, rose to a record 20.4%. And there are nearly 12 million college graduates entering the workforce this spring in that country. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak is in Shanghai. She spoke with my colleague Sabri Benishore.
Is this like a hangover from the pandemic, something that is going to clear up, or is this like a deeper problem?
Well, certainly the pandemic has an effect, as well as poor U.S.-China relations and Russia's war in Ukraine. But also, China just doesn't have enough jobs that require higher degrees. And the sectors that used to be the most lucrative when it comes to academic tutoring, high tech or real estate, they have been laying off a lot of people because government regulations have reined them in.
How are young people coping if they can't find work?
Well, some have tried to continue their education, others joined the civil service or military, and a certain portion, although we don't know exactly how many, of young people choose to sort of, quote unquote, lay flat.
Lay flat. Is that like quiet quitting here in the U.S. or like not taking your job seriously?
It's similar, but the causes are quite different. So because there are less economic opportunity, competition has become really fierce. So we've spoken to a lot of high-tech workers who say, come 9 p.m., they finish all their work, they still have to sit there because everybody else is sitting there. So laying flat, or the newer term, letting it rot, is sort of opting out of this extreme rat race.
Is this something that is on the government's radar? And if so, how is it responding?
Well, the government is really concerned because young people are what the economy depend on. So they've really encouraged people to become entrepreneurs. At the same time, they've been criticizing young people for being too picky with jobs. So the government media has been pushing these feel-good stories, one time profiling a couple who ran a food stand in Yiwu City, and they made the equivalent of $1,300 one night just by selling grilled tofu and potato snacks.
So the government is saying the job market is tough, but if you work hard, you can still earn good money. Is that actually motivating or inspiring anybody?
Quite the opposite. First of all, a lot of people are questioning. I mean, is it possible for them to earn $1,300 every night just by selling tofu and potatoes? And of course, the couple came out later to clarify that, okay, that was a special night. So young job seekers are saying there's a huge difference between motivating them and outright gaslighting them about how bad the job market is.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack in Shanghai. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sabri.
And that's Sabri Benisher with that interview. And I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.